views on this program are opinions of dentist industry experts and do not constitute personal financial advice. This program is furnished by Dentist Advisors, a registered investment advisor. You're tuned into Dentist Money Industry Expert Series. Now here's your host, Reese Harper.
Welcome to the Dentist Money Show. I'm here on the Industry Expert Series today with a good friend of mine, Mr. Rob Eagleston. How you doing, Rob?
Doing great, Reese. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. It's been great to finally connect on the show. And we're actually recording today live from Phoenix at the WRDC at the Western Regional Convention. So Rob's been nice enough to dedicate some time to come by and talk to us about his area of expertise. The Eagleston Financial Group is a financial services company that specializes in insurance and risk management. And Rob's going to provide us with a lot of good insight today, and we're excited to have him on. So, Rob, how about you give us some background about you and your team and what you guys do for dentists?
Yeah, Eagleston Financial Group. We actually started back in 1965. My dad started the company.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, 1965. So we've been around for a few years, a family business.
That's cool.
I work with my brother and partner, John. And our focus is on the insurance side of things. That's definitely for clients a necessary evil. I know it's overwhelming for dentists as they get into practice and realize 10 years later that they've got sometimes 15 to 20 different insurance policies.
Yeah, it's a ton to keep track of.
Yeah, yeah. And so our job really has been to acknowledge along with them that insurance is an important part of their planning process and make sure that clients are clear and straight on what they have, on what they need. And, you know, as much as we want to be positive, that's our message, is that it's okay to think happy thoughts and we're not going to get sued and we're not going to become disabled or get sick or die. We do see things happen to clients and you know, there's nothing we can do about the emotional consequences of a death, of a disability, a lawsuit, some of those things, but we can certainly help clients prepare against suffering financial loss through proper insurance planning.
So tell me a little bit about some of the kind of the bigger mistakes that you see that dentists make with their insurance planning. You know, some of the key areas that they might overlook or some things that they might just pass on because of how busy they are. Or, you know, what kind of general mistakes would you see that guys make?
Well, what I see is, and this starts in dental school, clients, they graduate from dental school and someone comes in, does a lunch presentation, sells them maybe a disability policy, maybe malpractice. And the only thing that the dentist knew about that policy was that their classmate bought the same thing. And then as they go in, they've got to then buy a health insurance policy and then a life insurance policy. And then eventually they go in and buy a dental practice. And with that, now they've got some business policies. They've got some more personal policies and they buy a house. And you know, at the end of that, at some point, now they have, as I mentioned earlier, 15 to 20 insurance policies.
Yeah.
But not understanding anything about any of them. And so
it just kind of feels like one big insurance policy, but not really knowing what one's what and what each one covers or what the amounts are, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. And to most clients that we meet that are in that boat, which are most dentists out there, it's almost kind of, it's so overwhelming that they can only just laugh it off. It's almost humorous to them until something goes wrong. And so a mistake that we see clients make repeatedly is just buying that policy and walking away from it.
You know, yeah.
Not taking the time to, from time to time, to review and analyze and understand what it is they have and why. And if their needs have changed, have they adjusted their policies accordingly?
So when you said that they kind of laugh it off sometimes, do people actually smile a little bit when you ask them what they have and they don't quite know?
It's a nervous laugh, but yeah. It's a laugh, sure.
Yeah. So a lot of, would you call this one like disorganization or oversight or kind of, how would we classify that?
Yeah.
General lack
insurance
of,
or financial just disorganization.
Yeah. What's another kind of area, maybe a specific type of insurance policy that you see being overlooked the most often or something that you feel like people do with a specific type of insurance?
Well, you know, on the liability side, the unfortunate aspect of being a dentist or what we see or what I think any doctor or dentist should assume is that they're going to have lawsuit issues, whether that's in their practice. That could be a patient, could be an employee, it could be a neighbor, it could be a family member that's over jumping on their trampoline and gets hurt. And I see a lot of doctors that fail to make that connection between, you know, who they are now, how the public perceives them as just a pile of money, and not having the right liability protection.
Yeah, that's good insight for sure. What do you see what do you see most people's processes for reviewing insurance? Like, how frequently are they looking at this kind of stuff, and how frequently would you advise someone to actually do an insurance review? Right.
Yeah. Well, the frequency is sometimes it's just as often as one of their patients or one of their neighbors or friends asks them to maybe to pitch them on an idea or a policy they have.
So they review it when they're getting sold a new one, right?
Right.
Okay.
But right.
It's not a proactive review of what they have and with any sort of process.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. And at a minimum, needs change often enough to where if you look at all the policies that once a year should be the minimum. If you think about in the different areas, whether it's your family, your practice, or both, there's enough that can change. And sometimes the change is, hey, we got a new bank account, which is minor. But then on the other side of it, on the business side, you expanded your practice, you purchased another house. So there's a lot of life events that would warrant at least an annual review.
Sometimes I've been, that's really good insight, man. Sometimes I've been asked which insurance policies are the most important. And I know you can't really label an insurance policy as, like, you know, even though risks of a particular incident might be lower, right, than others, if it happens to you, that's the most important policy, right? But a lot of people ask me, you know, if I have a limited budget and I'm trying to organize, you know, which policies I really should have and which ones I shouldn't have, or which ones I can afford to have the right amount of coverage maybe with and which ones not to. I mean, and that's really hard to do, but how do you kind of prioritize, you know, insurance policies as a dentist? You know, which ones do you think, maybe not eliminating any one policy, but maybe ones that you feel like are most likely or the most important for them to carry, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say in the insurance world, there are, I haven't stopped to count, but hundreds of thousands of, you can insure. I remember a few years ago, I went to buy this little video game, and it was a $7 little deal. And as I checked out, they asked if I wanted to insure it. And, you know, for me, I could have walked out and smashed it in the parking lot, and I would have suffered no financial loss.
Yeah.
And as that applies to our doctors, we do see that there's a lot of extra fluff. I mean, there's a lot of just in case policies out there that, yeah, in that narrow situation would be helpful, but putting everything together, looking at cash flow, probably isn't a priority. And so
that's good. That's good insight. So, you know, looking at the financial cost of a policy is one way to kind of start prioritizing it. So yeah. How does that kind of shake out, you know?
Yeah. Well, so what we look at is, so if someone owns a dental practice, they have to have, if they're a practicing dentist, they have malpractice. You have to have liability coverage. If you own an office, you need to have property coverage. If you finance the practice, you may have a life insurance policy to go with that. These days, we more or less have to have insurance.
They're kind of not optional, or they're not optional, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So there's these lists of kind of no-brainer. I understand I have to have these. So given that, and this is the attitude that a lot of our clients have. I know I have to have these. So given that fact, tell me if this is what really is appropriate. Tell me if I'm paying a fair price. And we don't want to focus always on price. It's nice to get a good deal, but we've seen that work to a client's detriment where they're so driven by price that they respond to every Geico commercial or any call to save $20, $30, and in the process take out a policy that's inappropriate or not the right fit for them.
Yeah, I've seen that happen quite a bit where, you know, it's sometimes let's take the business insurance or the home or auto in order to save money sometimes, which you don't realize what policy you've just purchased or slightly downgraded to or changed your coverage limits, right?
Right.
To save money. And you might have had $1 million of liability protection before, and now you have $100,000, but you didn't realize that you were losing that element of your policy, because these business policies, or the home or the auto, they're kind of complicated. They have like lots of different coverage descriptions within one contract, right?
Well, and I will say that the property and casualty world is a commodities world. And what I mean by that, it's all about price, and yeah. the agents recognize this. And so I've found, you know, time and time again, clients that are working with a property and casualty agent, could be their twin brother, their neighbor, their college buddy, who they also understand that it's all about price. That's what drives the market. Well,
yeah.
As a result of that, we have clients that have, for example, an auto policy that has the same limits that were appropriate for them back when they were in maybe high school, college, and even into dental school. But now that they're practicing dentist, they do need to change the policy and reflect the fact that they're now a dentist and have higher risk.
Their net worth is a lot higher. They have more to lose, right, in the case of an accident or something, too.
Yeah, well, and these agents understand that because of the fact that the general population is going to be swayed by price or motivated by price, that they're more concerned about losing that client to the next guy that comes along and offers a lower price, that they would rather not. It's in their best interest just to keep the levels low,
yeah.
to keep the costs low, except at claims time. That's where you realize that the mistake was made.
It's tough. Yeah. So what about the other types of insurance outside of this liability kind of bucket? We've talked about the malpractice, the business liability, the property, the personal property and liability. What about the life and the disability insurance? You know, how, if somebody says, look, my budget's tight, how do you kind of advise them, you know, when you start having that conversation?
Well, you know, for us, disability is a big one. It's one of those that you may not, unless it's tied to a bank loan, you don't have to have, but at the same time, you have to have. And I say that because I consider, when you're looking at a dentist, their education, knowledge, and experience, you put all that together, and that's their greatest asset. So for me, talking about disability, it's just insuring your greatest asset. So the disability world, it's confusing. And as I said, that's typically the product that dentists are buying out of school when they have no background knowledge, but someone came in for 30 minutes, fed them pizza, and pitched them a policy. And then they go on their way. And so,
yeah, there's a lot of differences between disability insurance, right? So, I mean, how if I'm a dentist and I'm trying to look at my policy, give me some things that I, you know, the differences that exist to change the price, right? Why is one $1,000 a month and another one is, you know, $100 a month, right?
Yeah. Well, the first thing we look at and we consider to be the most important is a company's interpretation of a disability or the definition of disability. So you want to know, hey, what's it going to take for me to collect a check from this company? I have a policy. I'm paying them each month. So do I need to be paralyzed? Can I be just simply not working as a dentist? And the answer, depending on the company, can be one of several. There are several different interpretations and definitions, and that's a mistake we see a lot of clients make, is they just took the company's or the agent's word for it that what they had was a strong definition. Specifically, when I say strong definition, the buzzword is own occupation, where, you know, no one would want to become disabled. But if the crystal ball said, there's nothing you can do about it in the next 3 years, here's the deal, you're going to become disabled, but you can write the script on how that's going to play out. If that were the case, personally, and I think most of our clients would agree, that if you had to become disabled, you had no choice, you'd be in a situation where if you're a dentist, where you couldn't do dentistry, but you'd still be able to go out and teach at a dental school or consult or do anything else for pay and still get your benefit because you're not working as a dentist. I think it's natural, and most clients think it's normal, just to assume that that's the case with every company. But there are a lot of policies out there that the minute you start working, you're not disabled, even though now you're working as a school teacher, something completely different. So the definition of disability is key, and, you know, and it matters. In the end, price matters, and each company has a different price. So you have to prioritize what's important in a policy. I think the definition is key. And for a younger doctor, a key feature would be the ability to purchase more insurance in the future, regardless of health. It's amazing. Well, not amazing anymore because we've seen so much of the situation where a client buys a policy initially and they're in good health, everything's fine, and year two, 3 years later, they're out doing something and they tweak an ankle or a back, or they start taking the medication that's insurance unfriendly. And so now their next purchase is going to come at a higher cost or with some limitations.
Yeah, so if I'm a dentist, the first thing you'd said is the definitions, right, matter. And the second thing is I can buy insurance without having to have my medical records or history checked again, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So is it possible for me to I'm asking this question as I'm the new dentist, okay? You've talked to me about this before, so I'm not super confused, but I do know this question comes up a lot.
Right.
A lot of people say, what if I do get hurt though, or sick, or I take that medication that makes me less friendly to insurance? Do I have to disclose that to the company or not? You know, can I keep that to myself as long as I've bought that automatic ability to buy more insurance? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, if you've bought that, then you don't. They're just going to look at your financials. And if you haven't purchased a policy, you're looking to purchase one, I think it's important to know. People will say, well, what does it take, or what's the process? They're gonna analyze your financials, and the amount that you can take out is based on your financials. You can only get so much. Your health is a function of that, and because you went to the doctor last month, or because you had a surgery 2 years ago, that doesn't mean it's the end of the world. But that does play into it. That could affect your ability to purchase a policy at a normal rate or at a more expensive rate. The one thing that I will say is a differentiator as far as cost goes is, and this is more of a new thing, there's a mental nervous coverage feature in a policy. Mental nervous meaning stress, anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
What happened in the 90s, quick story, is that all of a sudden doctors were finding that incomes were going down because of managed care. A lot of them found that they were better off going out on claim and then doing something else, maybe teaching or something a little less stressful. So there were a lot of mental nerve. If you think about it, if you're going to fake a claim, a mental nervous claim might be the way to go. And not that they're all illegitimate, but because of that, insurance companies got scared off. They raised their rates. Some of them left the industry. And so now how that's covered can differ from company to company.
Okay.
And so we tell clients, you have to make a decision. Is it important to have that covered at an unlimited clip, or are you okay having that limited? If you want full mental nervous coverage, it's going to cost you more, and maybe it's worth it to you.
So I'm going to pay more for a few different reasons. I'm going to pay more for my definition. I'm going to pay more for whether I've bought the right to buy more insurance. That's what do they call that rider on a policy?
Future purchase option is the kind of universal term.
I'm going to pay a little more if I have some mental nervous benefit that's not limited or restricted, right?
Right.
What else would I pay more for?
Well,
what's a feature?
Simply, I think simply just for the higher the benefit, the more you pay. And to a certain degree, we tell people rule of thumb is you get as much as you qualify for, because whatever that number is, it's going to be at best 60% of your income. And the more money you make, the lesser that percentage is. So it's not it's not a simple formula where you take your income and then 60% and that's what you can get. But then as incomes increase, then you have to start looking at, well, what is my lifestyle? You know, just because I qualify for $30,000 a month, do I buy that? So you have to, at some point, it's easy just to say, well, whatever I qualify for, I'm buying, because it's a fraction of my income and it's going to just pay the bills. So again, at some point you've got to start looking at what you're actually spending on your lifestyle and determining, you know, how much coverage you really need.
It sounds like there's this ideal policy that I can probably get, and there's probably a policy that doesn't have as many benefits. I mean, at the end of the day, if my budget's super tight, wouldn't you recommend to make sure I get it either way? Because I can probably spend not a lot and at least get something that would cover me if I have that I get paralyzed or I get in a bad situation. Seems like a lot of people, though, pass on it when they can't have the when they feel like the primo version is too expensive, they just pass on it altogether, you know?
Yeah. Well, and a good takeaway is just to know that the disability market for dentists is healthy right now, and there are options. A mistake.
Healthy meaning
there are a hand, depending on the state you're in, there could be 3 to 5 or 6 carriers.
Yeah.
And of course, they're different companies, and they have a few differences in benefits and cost. But that's a mistake that a lot makes, even coming out of dental school, where the Mass Mutual or the Northwestern Mutual guy, they come in selling one thing, and that's all they look at. That's all they buy. And
yeah.
The good news for a dentist is that you have several options to choose from, and it's important to, and maybe that Primo policy that's going to cost you the most money is exactly what you want and need, but you want to know what you're comparing that against or what to compare that against. And that's from an early age in dentistry, we try to encourage our clients to any financial product, that there is a market for it, there are options. And I know a dentist could go out there on the internet and research his or her options and do a good job, but it's going to take them 10 to 15 hours. Our job is to shrink that down to manageable size and educate them on it. And that's where it's easy to make a decision once they have the options, but that's where a lot of mistakes are made when you're looking at one thing and one thing only.
Makes sense. What about life insurance? I mean, what do you generally recommend in terms of how much life insurance I should carry as a dentist, you know?
Well, if someone wants a quick answer, it was easy in the past to say, well, you need $1 million or $2 million, because there was a point in time where, for some reason, $1 million was the answer to every problem.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have $1 million, you can retire, you can go live on an island, and yeah. People are starting to realize
you're a millionaire then.
You were a millionaire. Life was good.
Now you need $1 million of debt just to buy the practice.
Exactly. So I think clients, as they start to break that down and they look at what life costs, sadly, $1 million could go quick. Don't get me wrong. If it dropped down in my lap right now, I'd be a happy guy. But
yeah,
it's not that much money. So if a client wants a quick answer, depending on their income and age, we'll figure out, at least so they know, how much benefit they qualify for.
And okay.
That's not to say that that's the right amount, but that at least gives them information on what they're worth.
What are they generally able to qualify for?
Well, it's maybe this is too wide of a range, but it's usually between 10 and 15 to even 20 times their income,
depending on the carrier. Okay.
And now again, our recommendation isn't. We'll lead out and say this is what you qualify for, understanding that. When you break things down and look at their situation, they may have an inheritance coming. They may have a spouse that makes really good money.
Yeah.
That may be double what they really end up needing and buying. But I think it's important to know at least what they qualify for. There's no harm in that. And that's a good start. If they just want a quick answer, that's the answer we'll give them.
So if I were to look at all my risks and kind of say, okay, once a year I got to look at all these things. We've talked about looking at my life insurance. We've talked about looking at my disability insurance. We've talked about looking at my business property, you know, my building or my equipment and stuff, my liability there. We've talked about home and auto and my liability that I carry there. We talked about any. What other ones are we missing here? I've got a list. There's quite a few.
You're missing,
man. There's like 10
the one
more.
The most fun, and that would be health insurance.
Oh yeah, the healthcare.
Everyone's
hate that.
Favorite topic.
Yeah, so it's just the one I have to pay for, and I hate paying for it.
Yeah,
no matter
I'm
what.
Not leaving until we talk about health insurance. So that was my deal.
Okay.
Now, health insurance has definitely been the hot topic. It's been a sore subject, I'd say, for most. And as we all know, we've had some changes in health insurance these last couple of years, starting in 2014 with, if you want to call it, Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. And you know, health insurance previous to that was an ever-changing product already. You know, if nothing else, your rate was going up every year by hopefully a reasonable amount, but 5-6%, some 10-15-20%. And so with this Affordable Care Act, it's brought about for us a lot of confusion. We're getting clients that now there's an open enrollment period where at the end of the year and up to the beginning of the new year, that's your window to get a new policy. And we're still in a stage where clients are being phased out of old policies. And so we get a lot of calls now, Reese, in October, November. There's a lot of confusion. Hey, I'm getting kicked off my plan, or I just got a notice that my rate's going up by $300 a month.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We never use this. And so my philosophy that I've been passing along to clients for a few years now is for me personally, 9 or 10 years ago, I moved to a high deductible health savings account plan, and I started looking at health insurance as just my safety net. You know, this was the tool that was going to keep me out of bankruptcy if we had a major medical issue. And anymore, to look at that for the day-to-day, I need a Band-Aid for my scraped knee. You know, those days are long gone, and I encourage clients more and more, even those that it's predictable that they're going to be using it on a regular basis, even still it makes sense for them to view it as catastrophic coverage, as a safety net. And with all that said, we talked about reviewing all your insurances once a year, especially health insurance, because it's changing so drastically.
Yeah, and the cost changes so fast, and yeah, for yeah. sure.
And who knows with the new president, if the system will, even if that doesn't change the system is, it's still new and it's ever changing. So
I just thought of another one that I want you to hit on just real quick. So, but what about workers' compensation insurance? Isn't that something that they kind of just neglect and don't think about, but it really is still a big cost?
Yeah, workers' comp, when we look at policies and we do a policy review on the business side, I would say hands down, with really no rival, that's where clients are overspending the most on okay. their workers' comp. And in some cases, it's $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $7,000. So if you stop and take a look, which maybe you've never done, or it would be the first time or second time, take a look at what you're paying, first of all. And it's, again, back to what I said about cost, it's not all about cost, but we're finding far too many clients that they may have the right coverage amount and limits, and you know, they're, and it reflects what their payroll is, but for some reason it's just on a regular basis we're seeing clients, and it's not just, you know, a few hundred dollars I wouldn't consider significant, it's thousands of dollars. So yeah, you yeah, want to have
huge.
Work comp, but and clients understand and knowledge that they need to have that, but you don't need to be paying $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 more a year than you have to be.
That's really good insight. Well, man, I think we've covered a lot of information today. It's been super insightful. Is there anything else you want to like leave with people before we, any last advice that you'd want to leave with people on this?
Well, I just want to stress, and we're not preachers of doom and gloom. We certainly, again, we have high hopes for clients, and we're right there with our pom-poms, cheering them on to retirement or whatever financial goals they have. But unfortunately, on our end, we have enough clients where we see the good and the bad. We see a lot more good than we see bad. But I had an experience recently with a client that I'll briefly share, if that's
yeah.
okay. I had a client, younger client, and 4 young kids, and just a lot of good things going for him. He was a partner in a practice and just had the world by the tail, seemed like. I got to know him a few years ago, and I met him kind of, as far as insurance goes, after the fact, where he'd done a lot of his planning, but he needed to increase some disability, and this was a busy dad. He was busy in a lot of different areas. His time was accounted for, and he was hesitant to really dive into reviews and do some of the planning, that just basic planning, legal planning and insurance planning. And even recently, I reached out to him because they just purchased another practice, and to me, that was a trigger that, hey, we really, at some point, you know, life's not going to slow down and it's getting more complicated. I just reached out and told them that we really needed at some point to sit down. And of course, it was the beginning of the year. It wasn't a great time then. And I let that go. And unfortunately, just a few weeks ago, he and a friend of his and their 2 wives took off on a private plane and immediately crashed and died on the scene, which is, for me, the first time we've ever had something that tragic where a husband and wife passed away, and hopefully the last time. And as I've dealt with his family in the aftermath and come to find out they had no will, the family's going through email accounts and
just
bank accounts.
Just to try to find out where everything's at?
Yeah, they're lost and confused, and of course they're grieving, and they've got 4 young kids. And it really got me to stop and think about how important it is to take that time, to take, and I'm talking, Reese, 2 hours maybe, which we're considerate and we understand, we value every minute of our client's time, but we can't stress enough to again, continue to think positive, to expect positive, but from time to time, just take a couple steps back, lay everything out on the table, take a look at it, and make sure going forward that you have, you know, the peace of mind that if something does happen, whether it's the situation I mentioned or a lawsuit or any type of negative situation, that financially it doesn't devastate you. And that can be avoided by just taking the time to have things reviewed and looked at.
Man, it's a somber reminder of something that's super important. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and kind of leave us with such great insight and a good reminder of the importance to do this kind of planning at least once a year, taking a look at all the major risks, just find somebody that you can trust to kind of go through this and help you shorten your learning curve on it, you know? So, Rob, how would people reach out and get a hold of you if they wanted to get in touch?
Well, you can email me at rob@EaglestonFinancialGroup.com, and that's EAGLESTON. And then, or you can call us on our toll-free number, 877-409-1160.
Rob, thanks again, man, for taking the time. We look forward to having you get on the show, and we appreciate all the work you do for dentists all over. So thanks, man.
My pleasure. Thanks, Reese.